head coach of the Arkansas Razorback basketball team. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Coach. How you doing?
That's great to come on with you, John and Tommy. Appreciate you having me.
Of course. I know that it's been probably a big whirlwind since you have arrived in Fayetteville to be the next head hog. Have you finally settled in? Is everything kind of calming down a little bit for you, or is it still really going into this transition phase from you from Nevada?
Yeah, we're still in the transition phase. We've been so busy with recruiting that look forward to spending today doing some media stuff, but then also diving into our assistant coaching spots. We tonight, or actually last night, started a dead period at midnight, so it allows us now to get back to focusing on staff as well.
That's got to be a challenge. As you know, you're trying to get a program headed in the direction you want. You've got family that's trying to get settled in. They're in two places. You only get 24 hours in a day just because you're the head coach. They don't give you more. Talk about the challenges. Tell us the time constraints of trying to do both and then trying to get your family physically moved from another state and two time zones away to Arkansas. That's got to be a headache in and of itself just right there.
It is. Well, the good thing is, you know, when you first take over a job, like, for instance, with me, my family is still out in northern Nevada. My daughter's finishing school, and I got a superstar wife and a superstar daughter, and both of them are handling the move great. My wife has basically done everything because I've only been home one time or back to northern Nevada one time to help her. And so she'll have the house packed up and sold, and they'll be on their way here very soon. But it's good because what it does is it allows myself and the staff members that are here to spend a lot of hours recruiting, a lot of hours focusing on our current players and trying to evaluate them. And you kind of need that two-month time frame where you're solely focused on the job. And then once you get your feet under you and have evaluated everything and have a staff in place, by that time my family will be here.
Well, Coach, you mentioned recruiting. It was a pretty big day for you and your basketball program yesterday, and I'm just going to be honest. I don't know as far as NCAA rules go if you're allowed to say anything or talk about it or anything like that, but Connor Vanover and Isaiah Moss, both transfers that are committed to play for the University of Arkansas to play for your team. Just what did you make of that day, and if you're able to talk about those guys, what kind of game and what kind of thing can people expect from them once they arrive at Arkansas?
Yeah, I really can't talk about any particular player until all the paperwork's filled out, but due to compliance stuff. But we're really excited about the way recruiting has gone, you know, we want to try to play a certain style, so guys that can make 3-point shots become at a high premium for us, and it's hard to build a team at this time of year. But we feel like in the time frame that we've been here, we've had some incredible visits. Even some guys that have been here and maybe haven't committed, those guys have loved what they've seen. And so, you know, there's so much to sell here. And that's one of the things that really, really excites us is you know, we're gonna try to go head-to-head with the best, you know, programs in the country and not shy away from that from a recruiting standpoint. And certainly yesterday was a really great day for us.
You mentioned your staff and trying to complete putting the staff together. What has been your philosophy? I know the NCAA live periods have kind of changed some timing of what coaches are doing here in the spring. What has been your philosophy as you're trying to put this staff together at the SEC level? You know, how are you approaching that this time in identifying the people you need to complete your staff?
I think the first thing we wanted to do is I did not want to be conducting a bunch of interviews from the time that I got the job until today, because we wanted to recruit. And I did not want to lose players at the expense of putting a staff together. So now in college basketball, this is really a time starting the day where a lot of college coaches are going on vacation. So it's guys aren't on campus, meaning your own players. Recruiting is dead as of last night at midnight. So now it allows myself and the other guys that are already here to start conducting interviews and to start putting the staff together. And we would like to try to get a Power 5 assistant coach who's a proven recruiter to go along with a former Division 1 head coach and a former Power 5 assistant and a former NBA player in Corey Williams. And then with that third spot, you know, the philosophical, and it's interesting because I had conversations with several of our players last night and kind of wanted our players to identify what type of play, coach or what type of profile they would like to see in a coach. And I kind of gave some profiles of some college coaches. And I also threw out there some NBA coaches that I've worked with that also might have interest. So I think that, you know, for us, it's going to be trying to find the right fits, being patient, having an open mind to a lot of different scenarios, looking at maybe some really successful, you know, Division II coaches. But I do think that the profile of a coach who's been at a Power Five and then maybe looking at an outside-the-box type hire makes the most sense for us.
We're speaking with Eric Musselman, the head coach of the Razorback basketball team right now on the Morning Rush. Coach, you mentioned recruiting, and we know that it's on a recruiting Thursday. We've been talking about recruiting. It's obviously a pivotal part, if not the biggest part, of college basketball and how it is to be successful. Just for you and the way that college basketball is today, especially in recruiting, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges to go through the recruiting process and to make sure that you get the guys that not only will come to your team and help out, but help you win in a big way? What are some of the biggest challenges?
Well, I think there's a lot of challenges. Number one, you've got to identify somebody that has talent. Number two, you've got to identify somebody that fits into your culture. And then you've got to try to project how much upside a player has and how much of an impact you can have on that particular player from a player development standpoint. And so you've got to be able to try at least to predict the future as best you can. And then you always want guys that are team-oriented and guys that are winners and love being in the gym and are gym rats. So all those things really in no particular order. And then there's a whole nother facet when it comes to, all right, now when you get a player, a prospective student athlete on campus, how does he fit with everybody? His inner circle or his mom or his dad or who he comes with on a visit, how is that external family going to fit into your internal Razorback family? All those things become really, really important when you try to decide, you know, who is going to be a part of your program.
Eric Musselman with us here on the Morning Rush, head basketball coach of the University of Arkansas. Pace and space, that was a hashtag or a phrase people latched onto quickly from the time you arrived at Arkansas. When you hear pace and space and Eric Musselman, what do people need to think? What do you want them to understand about your offensive philosophies, your basketball philosophies?
Well, you know, it did take 4 years at Nevada to get exactly where we wanted to be, and what it was you know, and this is what we hope to get to, is a lot of guys between 6'5" and 6'8" who are athletic, who can play multiple positions. Guys that can shoot the three, a team that's cosmetically pleasing, a team that the home crowd can get behind and have fun and be energized. And, you know, I think right now with the makeup of our team, because we started talking about it last night as a staff, the makeup of our team is we're going to be able to play, we feel right now, with 4 to 5 shooters on the floor during certain stretches of a game, sometimes maybe 3 shooters at a minimum. So I think we're going in the direction that we really have from a vision standpoint. And along those same lines is you got to be really solid defensively, and you got to have toughness, and you've got to put a high premium on getting loose balls. Right now, we understand that we lack size up front, and so we're going to have to make up for it by fronting the post and not allowing easy post catches, and really, really rebounding 1 through 5 and not just relying on our upfront players at the 4 and 5 spots to rebound the basketball.
Coach, this is a rule change year for college basketball, and there's going to be, I'm told, 24, maybe 25 rule changes this year for college basketball. But one of the most noticeable things that is very likely when all of the voting and the approvals happen and the rules committee gets their final stamp on it is the three-point line is likely moving back to the FIBA or the international line. How does that affect the game, in your opinion, and how does it affect the way you want to do things at Arkansas, or does it have any bearing?
No, it definitely has bearing, because I think that when you look at rookies in the NBA, when they go into their first year, their percentages oftentimes dip. And the reason that they dip is because they're not used to that line. And when you move back just a little bit, it can severely affect not only your percentage, but actually the form that you have on your shooting. And what's really good is I think it helps great shooters, and I think it's really going to hurt guys that are trying to develop a three-point shot or are limited shooters. I think it's going to drastically affect them. But I do think that the more our game worldwide can have the same type of rules. I love what college basketball on the women's side has done, where they have four quarters, because that's what happens in the NBA. And I think the more that FIBA, meaning international basketball, college basketball, and NBA, the more that they can have unified rules, I think it makes it much, much easier for a college basketball fan or an NBA fan or a fan of European basketball. Right now, it can become confusing. You go to a men's game and there's a first half and a second half. You go to a women's college game and there's four quarters. You turn on an NBA game and there's four quarters. And so I think the more unified we can get, and I think the more unified like the three-point line, I think that helps players as well.
What is one rule change you think would be important to the game? Or if you could make one adjustment or change, what would it be in your opinion?
Well, I think having coached overseas in Olympic competition with national teams, I love the live ball on the rim. I think it creates excitement. It's one of the most, even a free throw, when you're able to knock that ball off the rim when it hits, it's really, really fun. And the fans get into it, and you're at the edge of your seat during free throws rather than reaching into your popcorn bag when a guy is shooting a foul shot. So I love that rule. When I was in the NBA G League, the minor league, for the NBA, we experimented it, and our players loved it. And it didn't affect a lot of games, but when it did, it added excitement to the game.
You're saying make basket interference legal. That's what you're really saying.
When it hits the rim, just like they have in Olympic competition.
Yeah, that would certainly be a great one. That's for sure. Make it a lot more entertaining. Real quick, Coach, before we let you get out of here, I got to ask this on behalf of the fans. Many fans like Midnight Madness. They want Midnight Madness back to Bud Walton Arena. It's something that got everyone hyped up for the basketball season. Is there something like that in store? Can we bring Midnight Madness back, something to get the season kicked off the right way? Do you have anything planned, or is that further down the road and you haven't even thought about that yet?
I haven't thought about it, but I will tell you that at Nevada, we were all for what the fans like. I think that you've got to promote your program. You've got to do things that your fan base wants to see, and if that's something that makes sense for us as a program and for us administratively, and that's something that our fans and boosters and former players and alumni, if that's important, then we certainly want to entertainment and look at it. And look, there's no doubt that when you do fun things, your players love it, and it's also great for recruiting.
Well, if you ever need a hype man for Midnight Madness, you know where to find me, Coach. That's all I'm saying. I love me some Midnight Madness.
Trying to get him a job already.
Yeah. Love me some Midnight Madness. Coach Eric Musselman, head coach of the Arkansas Razorback basketball team. Appreciate you joining us, Coach. Good luck the rest of the summertime, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road.
John, Tommy, thanks for having me on. Love, come on the Morning Rush again sometime soon. Thanks, guys.